So good afternoon, Chez.
Hey, good afternoon, Bob. How are
you? Hello, lovely, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, for those who don't know, Chez is a good friend to Phoenix. Until recently, he presented a great show, Blues from Brentwood, which has been sorely missed since Chez decided he needed to concentrate on other things for a while. And those other things include his hypnotherapy practice, and we'll be finding out all about that in a little while, hearing about Chez's life, his well-travelled life, and how he ended up in Brentwood. So welcome, Chez. What's it feel like to be the other side of the desk today?
A little intimidating.
Really?
I know how some of my guests used to feel.
Oh, well, it won't be a grilling. I'm sure it will be a lovely, relaxed chat today. So, can you give us a potted history of your life to the time you found yourself here in Brentwood? For example, whereabouts were you born?
Well, I was born right next to my mother at the time. I'm not sure why. I think she just wanted me close by at the time.
I can see I'm going to have trouble.
I'm not an easy interview.
No.
I was born and raised in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
I'm a Haligonian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I lived there for the first 35 years of my life.
But is that the official term, a Haligonian?
Yeah, somebody from Halifax is a Haligonian.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Your upbringing, your childhood, was that there?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I lived there until I was 35.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
So what were you doing then in Nova Scotia?
Putting in time.
Yeah.
Not in an institution, just in life. Yeah, I was, I did a number of things there, but I think I was involved in a sales organization.
Okay.
I'm a pretty good salesman at the time. I was involved in the political process in Nova Scotia for many years.
Oh, really? In what way?
I was an active member of one of the political parties.
Oh, really?
I was the constituency president for a number of years, and used to dine with the premier and the prime minister and those people who used to come to town. That kind of
really?
Yeah, I was working my way up through the party, and then I left, and everybody was sad to see. Everybody's always sad to see me go whenever I leave someplace. I don't get this.
Did you ever think of standing for election?
No.
No, you didn't want that.
No. Now, all the power is actually in the back room. The people that are out front, they're just the people out front.
Right.
I'm into power, Bob.
You're a bit of an Alistair Campbell figure.
Yeah, I guess, something like that. Yeah, I mean, I used to tell the premier that you're only the premier, you're not the most powerful man in the province.
So
try and take it easy.
Okay. Well, I believe you went on to sort of work and live in some exotic places around the world. Where did you go to?
Yeah, well, I guess the secret's out now. In 1994, I moved to Barbados. And I lived in Barbados for 17 and a half years. And actually, Tuesday, just gone, was 2 years' anniversary that I left Barbados and came to live in the UK.
Oh, okay.
So I've been here now for 2 years.
Happy anniversary.
I appreciate that.
We're glad to have you.
I love it here, Bob.
I really do.
People always tell me, well, like, hang on a minute, and you're going to ask me too, Barbados, Brentwood? Are you mad? Maybe you need some help, right?
Just look out the window at the weather out there at the moment. Yeah?
Well, I'll tell you the two things that I tell everybody is that Barbados and Brentwood actually have a couple of things in common.
Right.
Yeah, they do. They both begin with the letter B.
Yeah.
And the weather in both places is consistent.
Yeah, yeah. Very true. Very true.
I'm going to leave that one there.
Okay.
You'll figure out the rest of it.
Okay. Let's talk music. Your Blues from Brentwood show here on Phoenix was great. We miss you, Chez.
Yeah.
Is blues your main musical love?
I miss doing the show, too, you know.
Yeah,
I didn't realize when I knew I was going to have to stop how much I would miss it, because I know that I'm just focused on so many other different projects.
Sure.
But especially coming in here this afternoon, it's like, gee, you know, I miss coming in here.
Well,
I really miss it. In terms of my musical taste, when I look at what I've got in my on my external hard drive, I would say out of the several tens of gigs that I've got of MP3 files,
right,
probably blues makes up about 25 or 30% of what I've got.
Okay.
Which is the most of it.
So you've got an eclectic taste, really.
I do. Yeah,
okay.
I listen to some roots reggae. I listen to classical. I listen to some smooth jazz. Classic rock, of course, which has got a lot of blues in it.
All sounds like classy stuff. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, all kinds of different things.
All right. Well, now, I asked Chez to choose some music for us today, and we've got three tracks coming up in the next half an hour or so, and they're all blues, and this one's Willie Dixon. Why did you choose this one, Chez?
I chose this one because I saw Willie Dixon perform this song song live on TV when I was about 12 or 13. And when I saw him perform that, I was just, I remember watching it. I was sitting on the floor with my legs crossed watching this. When he came on and started singing that song, it just captivated me. And I said, I got to get some more of this.
Right.
And I've always remembered that was the first real, I heard the Stones and the Beatles and all that before when my older brother was listening to that and I heard it growing up. But the first, like, real true blues that I heard was Willie Dixon, Seventh Son of the Seventh Son.
Okay. Well, we're going to hear that now. Then we'll have the news headlines. A bit of travel news, and we'll be back with Chez. So, this is Willie Dixon, The Seventh Son. So, Chez, blues. Who are your favourite blues artists?
Well, my favorite blues artist, I've got a couple, of course. I've, spent most of my life learning and growing up and listening to the blues in Canada.
Right.
Not that we don't have radios and TV.
Sure, right.
But I would have to say pound for pound, I think the best blues performer that I've ever heard or seen or heard would have to be a young man who's no longer with us, unfortunately. His name is Jeff Healey.
Okay.
And he's a Canadian blues artist of absolutely magnificent talent. I know that there was a somebody who wrote some graffiti on a wall many, many, many decades ago that said, Clapton is king.
And
he's right.
Right.
But Jeff Healey, in my mind, is just the best.
Okay. I don't know Jeff Healey. Well, tell us a bit about his story. Was it?
Well, Jeff was the kind of guy. Actually, he was not born blind, but he went blind because of an ocular disease that he had as a very young child, as an infant. But when Jeff Healey used to come to town and play,
right,
the other musicians that were playing in all the other bars and all the other venues would schedule their breaks so they would come over and listen to him
at
where he was playing.
Really?
He was just one of those types of people. And when he started to play the guitar, you had nothing to do but listen.
Okay, so a musician's musician.
He had a talent that was unparalleled.
Okay, well, let's complete my education then. We'll hear a track from the Jeff Healey Band now, yeah?
Yeah.
What's
this
one?
I'm Tore Down.
I'm Tore Down.
Yeah.
Okay, let's give it a play. Okay, Phoenix FM, it's Bob on 123, and I'm chatting to Chez Moulton. We've talked about your life, Chez, we've talked about your music. Now, what you're doing now, it's hypnotherapy. When did you first get into helping people in this way?
I had been practicing psychotherapy in a sort of a part-time sort of way back when I lived in Barbados, back in the, probably I started that in probably about 95, 96.
Okay, this was talk therapy.
Yeah, talk therapy. Yeah, it's what they call talk. In the old days, we just call it counseling.
Right, okay,
counseling people with issues dealing with codependency. I met somebody who was a hypnotherapist. Got some hypnotherapy myself.
Really?
Worked. I liked it. I thought this was something that I might be able to offer some of my clients, another sort of arrow in the quill.
Sure.
Took 18 months to get my first certificate.
Yeah.
I got that in 1999. I have three certificates in hypnotherapy, actually.
You're fully qualified.
Yeah, with psychotherapy. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, you mentioned codependency.
Yeah.
What is codependency?
Codependency, bluntly speaking, because we're on a clock, I would tell you this. Codependency is a fancy word that means addiction.
Okay.
Addiction to what? Addiction to relationships.
Right.
Why would you be addicted to relationships? I want to get in a relationship with you because you make me feel good about myself.
Okay.
Because I can't feel good about myself if I don't have other people doing it for me.
Okay, so the aim is to get you a self-contained, fully formed person rather than being dependent on others.
Correct. Yeah. We would have had unmet developmental needs when we were growing up.
Right, okay. So hypnotherapy, what is it?
Hypnotherapy is basically a coming together of two extremes, really, that come together in the middle and work. It's a heightened state of awareness coupled with a state of relaxation.
Right.
And the best thing I can tell you is that most people are in a hypnotic state probably two or three times a day anyways. And I'll give you a very quick example.
Yeah.
For people who drive.
Right. Yeah.
When's the last time you got to the stoplight and can't remember the last couple of blocks that you drove?
I don't remember coming here today.
Well, there you go. Okay. No. So you were in a hypnotic state because you were so relaxed. You were in a trance, what you would call a trance.
Okay.
You're so relaxed, you were just daydreaming, zoned out, thinking about whatever you're thinking, but you were still in a heightened state of awareness, and I can prove it, because you're still able to function in the car.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. No, I understand, good, yeah. So how does the process work of actually hypnotizing someone? I mean, or is that a sort of accurate term?
Yeah, it's accurate. What I will do is I would help the person to obtain a very relaxed state. Remember I said it's a relaxed state coupled with a state of heightened awareness.
Okay.
So I just want you to relax. Basically what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bypass your conscious mind.
Yeah.
Which is why sometimes hypnotherapists will tell you, you know, go to sleep, relax, and fall off into a deep sleep, because we want to deal with your subconscious mind, not your conscious mind.
Okay. So what about, I mean, what would you say the success rate is? Do you have some clients that are difficult to work with?
I don't.
Really?
No, I love my clients. All my clients are good. Some people will achieve that state in the first session. Some people will achieve it in the first 5 minutes of the first session. Some people, it might take a session or two.
Right. Okay. Now, I've done a little bit of research here, and I believe there are two types of hypnotherapy. There's suggestive therapy, and there's an analytical therapy, yeah?
You're trying to get my job, aren't
you? I am,
you?
Yeah. Well, I'm quite interested in this subject, but can you explain, you know, what the two different types are for us?
I certainly can. Suggestive therapy is basically just where I'm going to make suggestions to the client for their well-being, their confidence, their self-assurance, whatever they want done. I'm going to program them for that.
Right.
A lot of people come with symptoms. I can give you suggestive therapy to take away that symptom, and you will never have that symptom again.
Really?
Analytical therapy. However, what might happen is that another symptom will develop somewhere down the line, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, maybe a couple of years.
Right.
Because that symptom, that original symptom, is a result of you having repressed anxiety.
Right. So you've treated the effect, not the cause.
Exactly.
So it's come back
if you want me to treat the actual cause, then we go to analytical therapy. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Analytical therapy. I hate to sound boring about it,
no.
But Freud actually had this part right. It's basically just obtaining the hypnotic state and then just asking you to go back and tell me what the memories are associated with around the time that that symptom would have started to pop out.
Right. So a lot of it is really establishing what the problem is.
That's correct.
And is there a sort of pattern in most people's lives who have problems? Does it point to anywhere in particular?
Yeah, that's what makes it easy for me to do this, because
right.
I understand that pattern very
right.
well. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And so what is it? Is it sort of childhood experiences, or is it...
Some of it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the anxieties we would have had, traumas we would have had, would have occurred when we were children.
Okay, so why do people need to be put into, for want of a better word, a trance?
That's no problem.
To sort of access that information?
Because that information is stored in their subconscious mind,
right.
And is not available to their conscious mind. So what I need to do is I need to get into their subconscious mind. They're totally aware of what's going on,
yep.
but just at a level that they don't consciously understand. But I'm not, first of all, I should tell you two things. I can't hypnotize anybody who doesn't want to be.
Okay.
And right. even when you're hypnotized, I can't get you to do anything that you don't want to do.
Right.
So it's perfectly safe. Nothing ever bad happens. Either something good happens or nothing happens at all.
Okay.
But nothing bad ever happens.
Okay. Well, you've kind of preempted a question of mine, which is personal to me, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, can hypnotherapy work against the will of the subject? And for example, I've got a love-hate relationship with smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I hate what it does to me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be smoking, but I actually love it as well. Is that something you can treat?
I can't hypnotize you if you don't want to be,
right.
And I can't get you to do anything that you don't want to do. So if you don't want to stop smoking, it might be difficult for us to achieve that.
Right.
Normally, I do quit smoking in one session. One session and you're done. You'll never smoke again for the rest of your life.
Really?
Yeah, really. After the consultation, I've asked you a very detailed questionnaire. You may decide that you have changed from a love-hate to a hate-hate, and we can get on with the business at hand.
Okay, right. Yeah, so sort of a prior stage to the hypnosis?
Yeah, of course there is. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Is hypnosis medically approved?
It has been approved by the British Medical Association and the American Medical Association all the way back in the 1950s.
Right. Okay. Now, you've got another string to your bow as well, haven't you? You're involved in sports hypnosis therapy.
That's correct, yeah.
How does that differ from normal hypnotherapy?
Well, it's more concentrated towards, well, athletes, well, yeah, some of them, I guess, would want to, you know, get sleep better at night or maybe quit smoking or eat less or whatever they do. But generally speaking, sports hypnotherapy is designed for people who are either in sports at any level, right, at any competitive level, whether it's recreational or professional. It's more designed to help them manage their emotions and their anxieties during match play or on game day. Right. It helps them with their concentration and their focus. We work on things like self-talk and motivation as well. You might think, well, most people involved in sports are highly motivated. Some actually aren't.
Really?
Yeah, really. It's surprising to find out how it works.
And what is their lack of motivation due to, do you think?
Stress.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bob, let me tell you this before we go any further. This is the key to everything. I'll give you one of the little pieces of the puzzle. As I say, I understand how it all works. This is one of the pieces. Listen good.
Okay.
Stress is the result of or the cause of just about everything that's wrong with us today.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm a 58-year-old overweight smoker. Can you turn me into a premiership footballer, please?
No. I can't make you, in sports hypnosis, and I tell the athletes coming through and sports people, I can't, like, for example, a golfer, right? I can't make you into Rory McIlroy if you don't already have what the mechanics and everything. But what I can do is I can help you to become the best of whatever your talents, abilities will allow you to become.
Right. Okay. Yeah? Brilliant. So what's your practice called?
It's just my name, Chess Moulton.
It's Chess Moulton.
Just Google me on Chess Moulton. I'm there.
Okay.
I'm in Mary Mead House, just off Sawyer's Hall Lane here in Brentwood.
With the Brentwood Buddhist as well. They're there, aren't they?
They're in the building as well. It's a huge big building there. There's lots of people doing very interesting things in there. Yeah.
Excellent. And you've got a website, I believe, have you?
I do, yeah.
What's your website address?
HypnotherapyWorksUK.com.
Well, I'm going to have to decide that I really want to give up smoking and then come to you for your help, I think.
When you're ready, I'm there for you, Bob.
Brilliant.
Not a problem.
Well, it's been fascinating talking to you today, Chez. I think we'll have to get you in again because we're fast running out of time and we could have squeezed quite a lot more in, I think, but that's great. We're going to finish up with one more track of the blues. Now, this is Reverend... Hang on, wait a minute. No, it's not. It's Dutch Mason. Tell us about Dutch Mason.
Dutchie Mason... passed away a couple of years ago, about 10 years ago now. Dutchie Mason is was born in a small town in eastern Canada, in Nova Scotia. Dutchie was a guy who never really made the big times.
Right.
He was known across Canada. But he was a guy who used to live that traditional blues life. He was a hard-working, hard-driving, hard-torn, and hard-drinking man.
Okay.
And he had a talent and a way of just putting it together that I didn't really see in a lot of the other local blues artists. Right. And the reason why I brought this particular tune in is because I haven't heard anybody play this tune the way he plays it. And this is my favorite version of this tune.
Okay.
Mystery Train.
All right. Well, one last question. We'll hear Mystery Train in just a moment. But Blues from Brentwood, we all miss it.
Yeah.
Is it ever going to return?
Never say never.
Okay, but not in the foreseeable future?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Oh.
I really am.
Oh.
And no one's more sorry than me, but I've just got a lot going on, and I just need to practice and concentrate on my clients and make sure that I can deliver the best service that I can. And I just need a few more hours a week in order to get
absolutely
that done.
Absolutely. Completely understand.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in today, Chess. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks,
and hopefully we'll see you again soon. Okay, it's Dutch Mason and Mystery Train. We'll be right back.
This is Phoenix 98 FM. 98 FM.